This is here, and I haven't got a chance to ask. Do you have your meetings here at this place?
No, we usually have them at the house or over at Tony King.
Over at Tony King?
Yeah,
down at Anderson, yeah.
Now, down here, we run down here, we like looking at one. Now, this is the Workman's Interlinear that we spent so much time on. It's a funny story about, well, a little bit different story about this. I'd come home from a conference over in Indiana, and we're just enjoying ourselves, eating ice cream, drinking pop, all that stuff, on the way home, you know, hot summer. Got home, had to work in the garden and get the weeds down after you go, when you go, that happens. And I worked all day the next day after I got home. And I could hardly push the tiller up into the little ramp, which is a smaller area than that. Got to push the tiller up that ramp. And it was like, man, I don't know why that's so hard. Well, Jack, you worked all day, that's probably. So I didn't think too much about it. The next day I got aches and pains. I knew something was wrong then, but I didn't have any idea what. Turned out about, and I'm shortening the story because it's a long story. Very unusual situation, and doctors didn't know what it was. I was in such pain that I couldn't move without, fingers, toes, everything. And it was funny because I moved like an old man. But I wasn't an old man. That was 10 years ago. But I don't know how many years. A bunch of years ago. And I moved like an old man, and Mel laughed at me, and I laughed at myself. But her point was, I couldn't do anything. Well, my daughter was working in Knoxville. She called, and they talked about it. So anyway, she was coming down that weekend on a little visit, and she hands me this book and says, "My boss said you should read this book." And it says, what the doctors don't tell you about fibromyalgia. She said, "You better read the book." I said, "Well, okay, since you want me to, I'll read it." But I really didn't want to read it, but I did. And it described my situation perfectly. When I go into the doctor, I went to a good doctor. I thought I liked him. He's a former Marine, I thank him. And he didn't know. He didn't know what's the problem. So I figured out it was this fibromyalgia. Lord, why? Well, he's kind of Lord saying to me, "You're always complaining about translations," which I was. Translations are a dime a dozen. A guy sits on the bus and he writes a translation. King James Version here, and his little notepad he's writing, his own version. I think he called it good news or something like that. I'll tell you what, it was bad news for believers if they believed it anyway. Most of them had enough sense to understand, well, that's just a guy on the bus. And as far as what his own situation was, it's not the question. The question is, the version isn't worth anything to anybody else except maybe him. If it were his diary, that'd be a little different, you know. Something of that nature. Well, but that's what is passing today, or it was in those days. I think nothing much has changed, maybe not as many. Then they have versions for females. And they have versions for other kinds of peoples, which I won't mention all of them. And they've got versions, they've got to be just like style. What's the latest version? The Baptists said, hey, we don't care. We're going to come out with a version that's right. And we don't care about making money, because that's one of the reasons for versions. Isn't that strange? Can you imagine that? Anybody want to make money these days? Why would they need money, you know? Especially if they're Christians, they don't need money. Yeah. So the Baptist said, we don't care about making money. We're going to come out with this version that will be accurate. Well, one of the brothers here, one of these guys come out with this real good truth here when they were speaking. I was really terrifically happy with that. Because it took me about 30 years to come to that knowledge that they got already. Thankful for us folks, some of us, you know. I'm not, you know, you'd have to follow the line. But anyway, these guys were talking about the ages. E.W. knows all about that. Get the Companion Bible. What's the index number? You guys know the index number on that? And he has a listing of all the age to ages and all that, and they got them eternal and everlasting and all that kind of stuff. I tell you what, the devil has a way of making those things. Now you come along with this. You got time. It's on your watch. Clock's always ticking. I used to love to hear my grandfather's clock tick, tock, tick, tock when I was a little kid. And he would go over there with his pocket watch, open the door, fix the clock, make sure it was on time with his pocket watch, which was always on time. Why was it always on time? Because it was his pocket watch. Don't laugh. This is real. It was always on time. I don't know how he did it. They did that sort of thing. It was important. Anyway, he fixed the clock, grandfather's clock, and it went tick, tock, tick, tock. You hear it. You could hear it at night. You could hear it all day. I still have the clock, but it doesn't work. Wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Time. Time. We all talk about time now. Some of you guys have got good insight on time. Maybe all of you. That's a wonderful thing to think of and understand as much as possible. Well, at any rate, ages are time periods. Big flash! It was a big flash to me one time. What? Ages are time periods. You mean you didn't know that before, Jack? Well, I just realized it. I realized it by reading the Companion Bible. Ages. It starts. Ages. An age starts here. And it ends over here. It ends and starts. That's a time period. So the devil's got these people translating that as eternal. Can you think of anything more abstruse? Or isn't he expert? Isn't he expert in doing that sort of things? Yeah. Ages to ages. Ages to ages to ages. You know, that's found in Revelation.
ages to ages to ages. Three times. So he said, that means at least six time periods. And he's right. Oh, just put it eternal. Same thing. Not unless you're a dud head. Not unless you're totally stupid. Or maybe you're religious. Sometimes they're the same. You know, Paul said to the people at Mars Hill, I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, you know what? You guys are too religious. Big flash. Here they're worshiping all these gods, hundreds of them. Too religious. Too many denominations. Oh, they all should all be one. Well, they should be, but you're not going to be. Not here. And we're not going to be any denominations in the upon heavens. Yeah. Yeah, the only denominations will be whatever he figures out. It won't have anything to do with anything we know about today, I'm sure. Well, folks, I tell you, that starts me thinking about a lot of things. It starts me thinking about us. I don't mean me, us. I mean you, us. All of us, us's. But our nation and world is greatly changing from day to day, maybe hour by hour. As we stand here, we don't know what things Satan is whipping up, and you can be sure he's working. One thing Satan is not, and that is a goof-off. He is working. There is spiritual wickedness in high places, which is copied here on this earth by those who have other masters than our Lord Jesus Christ, the great I Am, the head of the body, and the maker and designer of the universe and all that exists. Don't forget that. I read that in January 2014, the administration was putting ads in the paper to transport 65,000 children, quote, children, quote, unquote. Some of those children were aged. In fact, more of them were like maybe closer to our ages. But they're officially children. Ain't it nice? Yeah. In January, get the date. What time is this? January. The government, our government, was seeking, putting ads out and actively seeking to hire vehicles, buses, to transport 65,000 children. Yeah, let that go ahead there in your mind there a little bit. A lot. Now we're learning more about this. Now. Is it May? June? Yeah, now we're learning more about this. There are forces, believe this or not. I'd rather not think about it. Oh, Mr. Everett, you're always giving us sense. Yeah, but you've got to think about it, folks. It's your country, too. There are forces who would destroy our nation. And there are those who would raise the mandatory minimum wage for full-time workers to $9 and a half. Oh, that's nice. Boy, that's nice they're looking after us. You know what? That's going to cost 1,400,000 jobs. Is it nice for those guys who get laid off? Because many companies can't afford to pay. Now, we have a Constitution and a Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is part of that Constitution. It's the top prime laws in our nation. One of those Bill of Rights is the Second Amendment. It has to do with guns. You have a right to have a gun. You have a right to have that. Why? Because you're born in the United States and you live here and you're citizens here. You have a right to have a gun. And use it if you need to. And if you didn't have that right, and if people didn't have that right, there'd be a lot more people dead. And also, there'd be a lot more criminals in power than are now, although there's plenty of them in there now. Well, Chicago, the great city of Chicago, I don't know much about Chicago, but one nice thing, we got the Chicago White Sox. After that, I'm not sure. The Cubs are not, maybe Cubs. Bears, I don't know about Chicago. Other than that, Chicago could fly away, as far as I'm concerned. But there's a lot of people in Chicago, and they get mugged a lot. And the reason they get mugged a lot, because they're not allowed to carry guns there, according to their government. However, the court overturned that. And so far, now they can carry guns again. That little lady on the street they used to celebrate with the sign, with the cartoon and the mugger coming up on her, pulls out her gun and says, "Make my day." So they can do that again. Why do I tell you all these silly stories? Because these are things happening in the United States. Our labor force is down. It continues to go down. But there's one way that we can get around that, and that is to doctor the statistics. Statisticians will always be important to politicians. Well, I got a lot more things I could tell you. One thing, better not tell you that. I'm going to go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 is extremely important to you. To me. Ephesians 4 is vital to us. Us as a group. As an individual. Sometimes people call this the unity chapter. That's not a bad idea. It's not even bad to follow it. It's a good idea, and even better to practice. A great idea. And you know what I like about Ephesians? I've told some of you guys around here, we saw this guy the other day, and he was our bellhop or something, carrying luggage, and he did a good job, and boy, I tell you what, I really appreciate it. I was going to give him something pretty valuable. You know how it is. You tip your bellhop. Well, I did. I tipped him with a tract. And anyway, he saw me reach in for, he said, oh, you don't have, I said, here, a tract. And I said, what's that band around your arm? And he had colors around. And he said, I just got saved a couple days ago, and this color stands for this and that and that. And about eight things there had to do with being saved. Sound pretty good? I says, boy, that's great. I says, Colossians 3:4. He said, yeah. Say it again. Colossians 3:4. Okay. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, he says, with him. I said, right. He said, say it again. So I said it again. And he's trying to say it with me. He wrote it down. He wrote and I wrote. He wrote his name and address on my little book there. And he wrote that down. And then I said, one more thing before I leave you. May never see you again, but go home and read the book of Ephesians. That is your book. But he just got saved. He can't be a... Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Because this is God's word to the church, who is his body. Now, I was going to tell somebody, they call it a witch. I tell you what, it's not any witches. It's a whom. The witches in the King James Version are whoms. Because we believe in personals, you know. We're not going to these witches. It's sometimes our he's and she's and persons, you know. And when you get a chance to use those, use them. And I was going to tell somebody about that. They had a witch in their message or something. But, well, you know, somebody, they could get picky. And I am picky, especially when it comes to the Word. I get real picky about the Word. I don't mean to be personal about it, but I get picky about the Word. Personal according to the Lord Jesus Christ. I get personal about that with Him, you know. And He forgives me, but not everybody else always does. And that's hard, but not real hard. But Ephesians 4 is our chapter in this day for us. And the reason I borrowed this is to make sure I've got exact wording here. Because I know when we did this workman's interlinear, the Lord told me at that time with that fibromyalgia, He says, Jack, this is a time for you to start working. What? I can't even move, much less work. And He said, start. And I took my pencil, and the first day I decided this was what the Lord was telling me to do, I got a line done. And a line, a whole line. I was real proud of that line. And I said, oh, wow, buddy, I tell you what, this was the beginning of a new venture. And it was a line. And we were translating God's word for word. And you know, we've got translators. And it's human beings. The translators are human beings. And God's your judge. land, we couldn't judge all that. We don't have the ability, and we don't have the time either. Judging all of that is tough. Doing it is a lot better. So we took word for word with the best manuscripts available, and I think they're still the best manuscripts available. The texts that we used are still the best texts available. But instead of having eternity, we had age. Now, when the Baptists come out with it, they get it right one time, and the rest of the time they did it wrong. I don't know why they did that. I couldn't understand that. I guess they thought maybe we don't need to sell as many books, but we still need to sell a lot of books. I don't know. God knows all that. We don't need to judge. What we need to do is judge for ourselves. What are we going to do? Okay, and this is it. So we want Ephesians 4, and we want to start right there in the beginning. Because it is a wonderful, marvelous, and I'm always thinking about Ephesians 4, and what is God really giving us and telling us. And Paul says, I exhort you therefore to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you're called. You got a calling. You know that? You got a calling. It's yours. Now we all have a general calling, but then you have a particular calling for you. Yeah. Tony. Tony's got a calling. I understand his calling. Cuts hair and witnesses. And so far he doesn't get him confused and cut the wrong thing, but I'm sure he wouldn't do that. That's easy. And we can go through the room and do the tax man there. He's got a calling. Boy, I don't know. I wouldn't want to. Tax man. Boy. Bless you, brother. You'll be in our prayers for sure. Yes, sir. Well, I've got a good tax man. So far, anyway. But they're always changing it. Right? Changing it, who knows? When you go home, maybe be some different things when you get home. But I was telling one of my granddaughters, this is a problem. I have a problem with this, with all humility and gentleness. You know? I have too much problem being humble, but being gentle, I do have no problem. Maybe it's a big problem. With all humility and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. And that's not just your wife or your husband or your friends and neighbors. That's everybody in the body. Bearing with one another in love. Being diligent. That word is spoudazo. Just translated endeavor. It's being busy, working. It's serious. Being diligent. Well, actually, it's spoudazentes, which is a form of spoudazo. Being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now there is, boy, I tell you, if anybody can do this, Ron can do it. I never met anybody in my life that has the talent to do this like he does. He might be working like crazy, but anyway, he's got the talent, one way or another. And this is a wonderful thing. I'm saying that from the bottom of my heart. And I'm envious, I guess. I don't know, but that's good. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, now some people will do anything for peace. No, go away, devil. Take your foot off my neck. I'll do whatever you say. You know what I mean? Some people do that. And I don't think Ron's be that way. But some people like that. They'll do anything for peace. That's not what the Scripture's telling you to do. Unity of the Spirit, and this Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is in your heart. And He is your seal, Ephesians 4:30. That Holy Spirit seals you. I'm talking about you as believers in our Lord and as members of the church who is His body. We don't have any dogs or cats in it. We don't have any itches or witches. They're all people. God's blood-bought people. Ain't it great? One body. Oh yeah, that's what the ecumenical movement is all about. You know, I get stuff in the mail advertising that. That's the stupidest, silliest. The poor old Methodist, the Methodists used to be worth something. And Dr. Bob Sr. over there started Bob Jones University because the denominations were going away from the Lord. Young people were going off to church schools and they were learning the devil's business. And little old ladies in those country churches were taking out their handkerchiefs where they had put in a couple pennies for the offering and untying that handkerchief on Sunday mornings and dropping those pennies in the plate for those Methodist people to send it to some godless professor to laugh at the blood of Christ and call themselves a church. You may be a church, but you're not a church of God. And you're not, there's no one body there. Some people are ignorant. They don't know. The devil's taking the money from them. And some people are ignorant and don't care. I cared. I left my UB church. I like the people. All my ancestors were foundational in that church. Taught Sunday school and all that. Ushers lead. My granddad went up to the slums of the town. Gave out candy to children up there. In those days, that's unusual. Children would swarm around and he'd give them big pieces of candy. But he was collecting for his paper. He had a paper, a franchise there, newspapers. But he didn't have to do that. But he talked to the black folks. Talked to him. Invited him to church. And they came, some of them. When he died, they didn't come back. And nobody else cared anything about it. And that was real church. That was before the modernists got their devilish, sticky palms in God's business. You know, it'd be nice if you had a nice, clean line. All you believe in the Lord, step over here. The rest of you step over there. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? We don't have it. But it's getting cleaner all the time. A fellow wrote a book called Exodus. He wasn't talking about the book of the Bible, Exodus. He's talking about the churches. Churches, plural, which usually means doesn't have anything to do with us. We're concerned about the church. The church, who is his body. So we don't care anything about the churches. Because they're usually right in the Satan's palms. Whether they know it or not. So these National Council of Churches, the ecclesiastic movement, all of that's going on out there, and people are sucked into it. They got religion. You can have all the religion in the world and still end up the same. We don't have religion, we have the Lord. And he has us. We're better off than he is. Because he has us. And we have him. If you know what I mean. It's a figure of speech. With all humility, be diligent. Be busy to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And we are his. We are his force. We are his hand. We are his church on this earth. And does he have a right to count on us for some things? Got some nods. How about some amens? There you go. That's good. Amen's good. I never cared much for this illustrative congregation of people shouting, carrying on. Until one time I had a service up on Route 64, northern West Virginia, around the hairpin curve up there in a little church building. And we had evangelistic services there for a week. And somewhere along the line, the proprietor of this little building on that Route 64 was an old couple, short fella and a little bit taller wife, that ran a little farm there, hard scrabble farm on the top of the hill. And they'd been praying for their daughter and son-in-law to be saved. They've been praying. And we prayed. We prayed out loud. And then one night, they came to the service and gave an invitation. This is the first time this ever happened to me. He gave an invitation. And this little guy, he comes up to the front. Little short, stocky guy. Muscular. He came up to the front. Dutch. His name was Dutch. And he knelt down right at the altar there, and accepted Christ. And we were all just having, piano player was playing something real soft. He got up and he left. Thought, what in the world's going on? I was a young guy. He went back and he picked up his wife, who was a little bit bigger than he was, and brought her up to the altar and put her down there. And they were both saved. And that lady that we were staying with, it was the wife of the fellow that run the church. She just shouted, wow. I mean, it was like a shrill. Woo. You know, I was all in favor of it. It's the first time I was really in favor of that kind of thing. I thought, well, they got a good reason. They weren't just grandstanding. They had some reason for it, buddy. So, praise the Lord. One body, one spirit. That's where we go. Whether you're on the mountaintop, in the valley, in the sandy desert. One body, one spirit. You're His. He's yours. One hope. That's right. You only got one hope. You don't have a choice. Well, let's see. Should I pick the devil or the Lord? Some people do that. But they don't really understand the options very well. You know, there's an option market where a lot of people make a lot of money. If you make the right decisions, buy this and buy that and sell this and that, you know, you can make a lot of money on that. And you can start with nothing and turn out to be rich. Don't worry, I never got into that. I just noticing it a little bit. We have only one option. Spiritually, you have only one option. And that option is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Go with Him through life, this life, and then go with Him in eternal life. That's eternal up there. That word eternal in the Bible is hardly ever used right. It's usually a part of the age to the age thing. And every one of those is time periods. Now, we only have 7 books here, but we don't have any translated eternal that aren't eternal. You don't have to worry about that. You're going to have the Word. And you're not going to have any, it must mean this is. It must mean this. Well, one guy might have it mean this, and another guy have it mean that. What you ate for breakfast might make it mean this. And what you had for supper might make it mean that. And how much money you're going to get out of this virgin might make it this. And how much praise you're going to get out of that virgin might make it this. And, oh, I like so-and-so version. Well, version, well, version, well, version. Good. God's Word is what we're with, not versions. Forget them. Now, I back up there a little bit. I knew some guys that were on the Amplified Version staff. Wonderful gentlemen. As far as I can tell, they're pure guys, real, serious, in the Word. I don't have any question in my mind that they were trying to do God's work in God's will. Whether that was any, how much that version was worthwhile, I don't know. You see it around occasionally. And I'm not saying that you can't throw them all in the wastebasket, but I'm saying this, you get the real deal. The important thing is, what did God actually say? Now, if you want to seek opinions on what it means, that's fine. We give in the Workman's Interlinear, we try to say exactly what it means and not have going off and in a desert trip or anything around the world, you know. Just, it means, this is what we're really saying. Now, that's our interpretation. And it's clearly marked. It's not like we're trying to fool you. But we also have the exact word that God said. So you can have your own interpretation. Get your pen and pencil out and say, it means this to me. I mean, this is what I think, how it's going to help me, so on. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Well, that's the way you know I really am a Baptist. I didn't tell you how. I'm going to make fun of Baptists, maybe. Some of my best friends are Baptists, you know. But, in fact, my son is a poobah in the Three City, Three something Baptist Church out in Phoenix, I think it is. But anyway, there is. He is. And I ask you to get back to your roots. I ask. I want to make sure you understand that word. Because that is real important. At 9:50, was it September 21st?
It is.
September 21st. Mm-hmm. 9:50, September 21st. There is one Lord.
Amen.
One faith. There's one baptism. So sometimes I say, yeah, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist. Whole blood's a preacher. Oh, wow, what church do you go to? I go, where? I don't know. Wherever I am is church. Why, you blankety blank son of a gun, you know. That's pretty bodacious to say things like that. No, it isn't. It says they're hearing the word. This building don't make no church. Does it? You take all you guys and it's about to sit on the grass. And that's the church. You don't need to sit. You can stand. We can sit on top of the rafter here and be church. Wherever you go, you are a church. A guy get after me one time working Walmart on Sunday. He said, why you should be in church? I said, I am. Why can you say that? Because I am a church. Why, you know, he didn't say that. He was a good Christian, and I'm glad that. But I'm the church. Yeah. You are the church. You're not all of it, but you're part of it. Yeah?
Amen.
And over here, another guy. He and I, we're church. Okay. You and I, we're church. All of us. Bella and I, we're church. And that's the way you ought to live, too. Say, oh boy, now we're outside, blankety-blank. Just a big river by, isn't it? All that cigarettes and the cigars and whatever up away. A little flask here. Chop every time we let a couple thousand to the Lord in a Methodist church building over there in Virginia. We were young guys that just fit out on the summer preaching around the country. And the pastor, whom we just barely met, we got signed up there somehow, I don't know. And he come to us and he said, do you know who those guys were that were saved last night? I said, no. He said, well, that was the two guys that were saved. That was the Sunday school superintendent and the head of the deacons. Oh, good. Finally got saved. He said, yeah. Now, what's more, last week, they had a knockdown, drag-out fight after church. This fight on church grounds. Well, I'd say that's a pretty exciting church, isn't it? They get that word around, they have a lot of people coming out. Yes, sir. I'm afraid too many of our earthly churches. Hey, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Feel that water on your neck? That isn't His. Get a little leftover on the comb. All right. But to each one of us is given grace. I need all that I can get. Grace, yes. Wherefore He says, having ascended unto high. Oh, I love this. He led captivity captive. Those guys, those beings that were captivating these ones that God wanted freed were defeated, and our Lord had to battle to do this. And He did it, and He's the only one that had the power over the forces of death, and He ascended. But to ascend, He had to descend down there first. I'm down here in verse 9. And He that descended is the same also ascended above all heavens. Whoa, that's too far. Can't even see it. That's right, you can't. That He might fill the all things. He hadn't done it yet. But He's working on it. You're part of the filling. Do you know that? You're the filling in the pot. And He Himself, He, Jesus Christ, gave some apostles. These apostles have sent one. I like to demystify the scriptures. Apostles have sent one. Do we have any apostles here? Maybe you are, don't know it. Think why you're here. What you're here for. Think about it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not picking on anybody. But you might be here because God sent you here for some reason. Pretty sure He sent Ronnie here for some reason. And she looked like Chip's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And everybody, as far as I know, is doing what they're supposed to be doing. I don't know whether that apostle or not, you know, apostle was. Whoa, that's pretty. Well, I don't know. Some prophets. Well, I don't know. Prophets aren't just people that tell the future. The fortune tellers do that too. Or do they? Do they ever get it right? I don't know. Some evangelists. Yeah, we got evangelists. Oh, that's where the problem comes. You know, evangelists make a lot of noise. They run around and do things they shouldn't do and all that. Well, it's not so much what evangelists do in the pulpit. It's what they do afterwards sometimes. And sometimes they're not even evangelists. Sometimes they're just pastors or church ministers or whatever. Anyway, I don't mess around with those people. Shepherds and teachers. Well, I met a guy one time, young fella, he was starting out, trying to be a good minister, I guess. And I said, don't forget, you know, in a real sense, you're a shepherd. He said, what's that mean? Well, I said, shepherds stayed with the sheep. Oh. Yeah. Stay with the sheep. Yeah. He said, you be with your sheep. Yeah. Well, we tend to think, well, shepherds, that must be from the Gospels. Must be in the Jews. Well, I think that's probably true. But on the other hand, here it is. There's our book. Written to the church. Who
is his body. And teachers. Teachers.
Oh, everybody's teachers. Got teachers everywhere. Teachers coming out of ears.
Teachers.
Lord, what are these people going to do? Who these people are? These apostles, these prophets, these evangelists, these shepherds and teachers are for perfecting the saints. Get one of those hone stones. If any of you guys are in that top category there, shepherds, teachers, apostles, prophets, you're being like a hone stone. You're sharpening up the saints. That's right. You're sharpening them up. Why? So they do what they're supposed to do. What are they supposed to do? That depends. Who they are. Probably you're supposed to be tax men and barbers and golfers and housewives. And I don't know what all you guys do. Farmers, welders, tin men, a machinist. World traveler. Whatever. And I apologize that I don't know. Banker, I think we've got a banker, right? Probably that's. Well, yeah, but I'm a banker, or I'm a this, I'm a that, and we don't do. Yeah, yes, you do. If you're in his body, you do. You do. You do. You do His Word. You do have a testimony. You do His work if you have a chance. Well, I can't teach because I haven't been anointed. Watch out for those birds. Some people get that mixed up with anointing. No, you're already anointed. I'll take my word, but that's not anything to rely on. Rely on God's word here. So you have a ministry. Well, what is it? I'm not sure. You and the Lord talk about that. He'll tell you what you're supposed to be. Some of you know, some of you don't, and it'll change. And the whole thing is perfecting the saints unto work, service, unto building up the body of Christ. Ultimately, or presently, whatever you do, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, is building up the body of the Christ. Building it up, not tearing it down. Not pulling it apart. Not glorifying it. You can't do that. God does that. Building it up. And I just give you a clue here. There's only one way to build up the body, and that is get into the Word. Well, I read it already this morning. Read it again. Well, when I'm on the way home, I don't have time. Have your wife read it too while you're driving, or if she's driving, you read it to her. Build up yourself in the Word. I carry a little pack of verses, go over it every day. Different verses, different chapters, so on. Am I righteous? Yeah, I'm righteous, but don't worry about that. Build up. You eat, don't you? You understand eating. I think, look around here, looks like some of you understand real good. But won't say anything more about that. I envy you. The only thing I say, I envy you. But listen, the whole point of it is, this is the food to build you up for His work. Here it is, you know. If you're going to be a bouncer, for some institution, you need to have muscles. Or if you're in one of those wrestling things on TV, you need to have muscles, or look like you do anyway. And you need to have spiritual muscles if you're going to deal with people, because people are kind of hard to deal with sometimes. They're not always nice like me and Ron, especially brother. Sometimes they're hard to deal with. Then you need muscles. And there it is. There's your muscle pack. And you can make it any color you want, but there, the word's in there. The word's in here, the word's in your book. Put down the ones that help you. That we will all arrive at the unity of faith and of the acknowledgement of the Son of God. This is your heart saying, I love you, Lord. So what it say? That's the acknowledgement. Your heart's doing that. That's you doing that. That's not words, lips. Lips are okay, but it comes out of here. That's acknowledgement of the Son of God, the Son of our Lord, unto a complete man makes you complete to praise Him. The measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. There's Christ. See how you measure up. Take your biblical yardstick and see how you measure up. Other people shouldn't do it. You do it. You measure up yourself. That we may be infants no longer. Oh, I'm still lying on my back and hollering and crying, Mama. Some believers are that way. I don't believe anybody in here is. I'll tell you that. That's my own idea. What do I know, though? But think about that. Well, if you go to Butterby Baptist Church, you may be an infant forever. If you're saved, start with, at least you're born again, maybe, hopefully. But you may be an infant forever if you don't get any food. If you're in the body, this is the body we're talking about. And we're not talking about religion and churchianity and the ecumenical movement. We're not talking anything about any of those dead diabolical institutions. Those things are dead and covered up, and they need to be covered up, and we need to forget them unless you want to evangelize them. You know, I don't set foot in them. I don't set foot in them. I'll talk to people. I won't go in there. I won't go into any of those heathen places. When they make fun of my Lord in their seminary, when the professor in the seminary ridicules the blood of Christ, that's not my truth. I don't believe it. They don't get any of my money. I don't want to have anything to do with it. But I love those people because they probably are lost and need to be saved. And I will talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. If they say they're saved, I'll talk to them in the Word as long as I can. I'll tell them everything I can. Everything they'll listen to. Take your opportunities. You're only here for a short time. Don't give up those opportunities. You believe in rewards? Hey, when you were a little kid, did Mom and Daddy give you a piece of candy because you did the right thing? Well, I'll tell you, it's a lot better than that. The Lord give you a great reward. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of glory that the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also who love His appearing. That newly saved guy. That's what we're talking about, is appearing. Appear with Him. Oh, he was excited. Appear with Him, with Him. Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's, isn't it great?
Oh, that's hard to beat. Ain't a religion on earth to beat that. Ain't no church organization or any of that stuff. None of that would beat that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also, ye, that's you, you. There's a ye and a ye and a whole bunch of ye's with him. All right. I like to have my picture with him. I don't care about the mayor. I'd like to have a picture with him. I don't care about the head of the garden club. I'd like to have my picture with him. Oh, can you believe it? Someday. Not maybe soon. Until we may all arrive, that we may be infants no longer, and carried around by every wind of teaching. You see the people. Oh, they come here and they come there and they shop around. They're religion shoppers. Well, that's better than being a dead religion sitter. And there's my place there, over there in the Episcopalian Church. There is like my little place right there, and I've been there every day for the last 50 years. Better not do that. God doesn't want anybody sitting still anywhere. He's got stuff for them to do. Yeah, but I'm too old. Yeah, who says? If somebody says they're too old, if they say it, what does that say about them? It's either true or false. Too old. Well, I tell you, I've known some grannies that had good testimonies. So, I don't think you're too old to have a good testimony. Yep. Well, we're not going to get through set four, and we're going to stop. I'm not sure what the time is, but go through this chapter. It is your chapter about your life. And it's talking about the people around you, too, who have thrown off all feelings, gave themselves up to licentiousness, unto working of craving all uncleanness. That's all around us today. Where's your part in that? Well, your part's not to be in it, but you're there. You're going to have to say something. You have to do something. Your testimony. Your life. Do it more than talking. Do it. Have that life that everybody can look to and say, boy, I want to be like that person. And then you can say, oh, hey, that's nothing. It's Christ. Christ in me. That's the good side. Therefore I say and testify in the Lord, no longer walk you around, even as also the Gentiles are walking around in vanity of their minds. They got no place to go. We're the ones that have a course, right? We're the ones that have the navigator. If indeed ye heard him, and in him were taught. In him were taught. These people are taught in him, right? The old man is put off. a new man is put on. Just read that chapter 4. Don't even give place to the devil, verse 27. Don't give place. Well, it won't hurt if I do. If I. Yes, it will. Don't do it. Read an extra chapter in the Word. Read this one again if you want to. Better yet, memorize it. Get your little pack and memorize scriptures. You don't have to parade it. I do it here because people here, I'm trying to help people get started on this. Yeah, just good. Put them in a good way to. You're standing in line waiting for something. Pull out your verse and go over 2 or 3 verses. Oh, that seems so childish. No, it is not. No, it's growing-ish. It's growing-ish. Well, but I'm too old to grow. No, you're not. You're just starting. If you haven't been growing, you're just starting. Keep on growing. He didn't even talk to the crook. You know, crooks can be saved. I think it would be a great thing if some very strong brook, not me, very strong person would go to Washington and have a ministry to government workers, including the president on down. Right. We've got missions to the Yerukatus and Ubangatees and all of them. Why not a ministry to our own government? They need it. Probably just as lost as anybody could be. And you might even find a saved person or two up there. Yeah. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells you to do something, do it. Let all bitterness and wrath and indignation and clamor and blasphemy with all malice be removed from you. That's a lot of things to remove. Be kind unto one another. That's twice in that chapter. Tell you and be kind. I think that's written for me. I feel kind, but I don't appear kind. I guess depends how you're reared or something. But be kind unto one another. And don't be afraid to use the Word. Here we go, Lord. We're going into battle. Charge! I charge thee therefore before the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Shall we have a word of prayer?
Sure.
Lord, thank you for this opportunity to speak your word. I really enjoyed it, Lord. Thank you. I pray, Lord, the hearts are open to your word always, from day to day, hour to hour. And we pray that out of this group of wonderful people, there will emerge a great legion of believers, a legion of workers, a legion of people who are going to be witnesses and testimonies and lights for your glory in all their surrounding areas. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship Mel and I have had with all of these people and will have. God willing, you willing, Lord, give us all good, safe trips and bless us in whatever endeavors you've set us out upon. In Jesus Christ, our precious Lord's name, amen.
Amen.